Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lanham for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. So yesterday, I hung out with my youngest son, Alex. You know, some father and son time, a little bit of quality time. And my youngest son is a technology software guy who plans on going to university, studying computer science, and going to work for Google, at least some organization like Google. And why not? He should have some dreams. He should have some things that he wants to do. Plans like that, there's nothing wrong with them. So what do we do, though, you might ask? And I'm hoping you are asking that question. Well, about a year ago, I helped my son build a supercomputer. Well, it was a supercomputer at the time. And he had saved up his money, got a part-time job, bought all the parts himself online, did all the research and everything, and then we built it together. You see, back in the day, some years ago, I used to build and service computers for a living. I was sort of part of that. And that was a long time ago, but I'm sort of digressing a little bit. So recently, my son, Alex, saved up his money and bought a VR system. VR now stands for virtual reality, if you're not familiar with that. And he set it up himself and got it all working. And so that was an interesting experience to watch. But then yesterday, using my son's VR system, we sort of played with it together. We walked around the world. We visited different cities, that some cities we've never been to before. We stood on mountaintops. We walked the streets of Paris, and we've even stood on top of buildings looking down and having sort of a virtual experience of almost falling over. We visited my hometown, which was sort of cool, and we even found our home in Winnipeg, and we stood in our backyard. Well, what we could do in terms of standing in our backyard. Oh, yes, we had fun. We even made the sunrise and the sunset. We went into outer space and we took a trip around the stars. And we did this all from our own home. And that was the amazing thing. Oh, yeah, we interacted, you know, we enjoyed our trip. We had discussion about places and we spent some time together sharing an experience in virtual reality using technology. And overall, you know, usually I think about going out to, I don't know, a restaurant or to an event or something with my son. But doing virtual reality in my own home and visiting the world and experiencing that with him and discussing different places and what was going on, everything from economics to politics to just even architecture and what streets looked like and what the world looked like and what the star constellations were. It was really cool. So there you have it. Got me thinking. Got me thinking about who do I know as an entrepreneur has lived and bred the development of technology, space of technology, and finding ways to bring new ideas to markets or using technology and using new tools in virtual reality. And then I thought of my guest, Daniel Blair, BitSpace Development. Daniel, welcome to my show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on here again. It's always a pleasure. Now, you were on the show one time before, Daniel, and I know it was a while ago and stuff, but I think what we need to do is just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm Dan, and I'm the founder of a company in the city called BitSpace Development, and I basically build technology. My company is focused right now on virtual and augmented reality, but we do all kinds of technology. We basically are like a team of hackers for hire.
Hackers for hire, but good hackers for hire.
Good hackers, yes.
Would that be, was that called like white hats by any chance? Is that
it can be, but we're more in the sense of like, you know, we're just kind of helping you figure out what your ideas can really become. So we work with a lot of companies that want to enhance the way that they deliver training in some way or another, and we help them figure out how they can best use technology to do that.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, you use two different words, and I know I use one of the words in my monologue. You use virtual reality, then you use augmented reality. So two different things, but maybe blended.
Two different, but related.
Okay, related. So let's go by definition. Okay, so what's virtual reality and what's augmented reality?
So in virtual reality, we're wiping away the world, and we're placing you into a situation, giving you that sense of presence. Whereas in augmented reality, we are enhancing your current reality by adding digital objects to the room you're in.
So could that be a situation where you're walking down the street in Winnipeg, but then you're adding, like you said, digital objects in place?
Yeah. So the best example is Pokemon Go. Everyone,
oh, yeah, okay.
Everyone's
Everybody
looking
knows
at that,
Pokemon
you know,
Go,
toss Pokemon on the street, stuff like that. So
yeah, that would be the best example.
Most people have probably heard of it by now.
Probably played with it by now.
Another really good example, my friend Corey King, Studio Zenfry, they made a game before Pokemon Go called Clandestine Anomaly. So, you know, you're walking down the street, you're fighting aliens. So
yeah. and you can do those kind of things and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned some things like DK1. You sent me a couple of notes, and so I'm curious as to what that is, because I'm looking at that going, well, that's just code to me.
Well, the other day I posted a picture on LinkedIn of me wearing the original Oculus. It was just before the long weekend, and what I wanted to do was set up the older headsets so that my team could kind of get a sense of how far we've come with the technology. Kind of like, just since 2012, how much has VR really evolved? And so the DK1 was the development kit one that came to Kickstarter backers back in, I think it was 2012. It was the first consumer VR headset that I get, you know, Palmer Luckey and Oculus really released. So
yeah, so that's what that was.
In perspective, it's quite primitive to what we have right now.
Right now, okay. Yeah. So first of all, when you say like Oculus, those are companies, right?
Yeah.
Because I suspect that some of these companies you're mentioning right now are not like the household names of Microsoft or Google.
Well, Microsoft does have VR. Google also does have VR.
Yeah.
HTC, which is a phone manufacturer, they also own the Vive, which is a Steam VR headset, and then Facebook owns Oculus.
Okay.
They're pretty household names, but the brands are still kind of emerging.
What I mean. So the bigger
they would be the big names in VR, but it might not necessarily be like, you know, oh yes, Microsoft, and you think of VR.
Yeah. No, you don't, right?
Not yet.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what I was going with in terms when I said like Google and stuff too, or if I use Facebook, or if I use any of those other organizations, people would probably, yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
But I don't think of those organizations being associated with VR.
Yeah, well, I'm holding my Google Pixel phone right now, and they have Google Daydream and Google Cardboard, so they have two VR solutions. So
what can you do with Daydream?
So Daydream is kind of like the next version of Cardboard. Daydream uses a more robust VR experience where you don't necessarily have to put your phone in a cardboard box anymore. They have manufactured more comfortable headsets, and you have a motion controller.
Okay.
So you have a little bit more interaction in the world.
And a little bit more interaction in what you're doing in that. Wow. I mean, this is a lot of information, just this little piece when we're just talking about virtual reality versus augmented reality, and then the options that are actually available.
Oh, yeah, there's so many options now.
Maybe that's a good place for us to look at as we're trying to figure out exactly the use of virtual reality and what we can do with it. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a little short break. And when we come back, I think we should talk about maybe the uses of virtual reality and what's trending and where things are going, because you just threw a whole bunch of things like Cardboard and Daydreamer and DK1 and all sorts of things at me. And somebody who's not living inside that space would maybe not be aware of how you could use it for yourself personally or even in your business. This is Richard Lanforsett for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am hanging out with Dan. Dan is from Bit Development. Did I just get the name correct?
BitSpace Development. Bit Development. Doesn't really matter. BSD.
BSD. There we go. BitSpace Development. I just had that moment, Dan, where I just froze. My mind just went, okay, what were we talking about again? Because you got me so in tune with, or not in tune, but excited about the technology we talked about, virtual reality and augmented reality. And I guess we were just talking during the break and just before the end of our last segment, just sort of about some of the options and things or the opportunities. So maybe we should explore that from a business perspective.
Yeah, sure. So I've thrown out a lot of options in the last section.
And oh, yeah. You threw out all sorts of terms and everything,
you know,
too.
There's so many companies now are making solutions. And from a business perspective, like, you're looking at VR as a medium. You want to deliver your content in this way. But there's fragmentation in the market, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, as a consumer, I'm going to go out, I'm going to buy a VR headset. Maybe I'm going to buy something that's powered by my phone. Maybe I'm going to buy something that's powered by my computer. Either way, there's a low chance that I'm going to have everything.
Okay.
You know, because there's different cost points. There's different, you know, things. Like, right now, VR ranges from so cheap with Google Cardboard that you can give away branded headsets to everybody at a conference for free, to expensive high-end stuff that is powered by your gaming PC.
Okay.
So when you're building an experience for your clients, whether that's for marketing, training, or just general awareness of your product, there's a bunch of things you need to take into consideration. So when we're working with companies, whether we're building a training application or we're just helping build some sort of VR, AR application, one of the main things we ask is, like, who are you targeting? So a lot of our clients, in our primary markets, which is generally safety hazard identification style apps, they're being deployed to a classroom.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a couple different options. So if we're looking at something like the HTC Vive, we're going to build a room scale simulator where we have the user put on their hard hat and they put on their boots and stuff before they go on a job site. It's quite immersive. You know, you're actually doing those actions. So you're starting to fall into the realm of like applied education where now you're actually doing what you're learning about, but the cost is higher for the business. So to think of it, if you have a class of 30 students, it might be more cost effective to look at Google Cardboard. So whereas with Google Cardboard, Gear VR, like phone-based VR, the headsets range from $3 to $100. Wow. Whereas with HTC Vive, which did just come down $200 in price, it's still $799 per headset.
So $800.
Plus you need a VR-capable PC. So you're still looking at an investment per student to run the simulator at, like if you want to have like five people running at the same time, you're looking at five headsets at $799 a piece plus a VR capable PC. So you're looking at an investment of about $2,000 per simulator.
Okay.
No, so if you're, you know, so if you're looking at like running it at a trade show or something, it's fine. You can have one going and, you know, you probably only have room for one VR setup at a trade show booth. So it's a cool for marketing and training, but there are different things you need to take into consideration.
Okay. You keep mentioning about the other smaller one. It's about $3 or whatever.
Yeah, Google Cardboard.
Google Cardboard. So how could somebody use that one from their marketing and development perspective?
So the nice thing is for Google Cardboard, you're primarily stationary. You know, you don't walk around in the experience. Very limited interaction, so you're primarily watching. Think of it like you're using it to watch 360-degree videos. From a marketing perspective, creating 360 content can be quite engaging. So Facebook, for example, has native support for 360-degree photos and videos. So if you create 360 content and release it on, you know, your brand's page, someone with a VR viewer can put that on and actually go inside that picture.
Oh, okay.
So I like to tell people that you're giving your users a sense of presence. So, I mean, you know, you look at a picture, you look at a video, there's nothing quite like going into the picture or going into the video. You can really give people a that sense that they're with
they're
you.
Right there.
They're right there.
They're right there.
They're in the story that you're trying to tell. So you can capture your audience in a much more engaging way. And Google Cardboard is like kind of the entry level, you know, it's almost, some people don't even want to call it VR, but it's, you know, it's there. It is a cost-effective solution for businesses. But one of the reasons that I generally recommend it for marketing is because you can get branded headsets. You can give them away. Like you could have, you know, CJOB could have VR helmets that they gave away to, you know, people that, you know, you slide your phone in. I've seen it in built into cardboard or cereal boxes. So like, you know, you buy the cereal, you cut out the cardboard box and there you go, you have a VR headset. So,
oh wow.
You know, there's so many ways to actually deploy that headset. So when you're looking at deploying to like the mass market, that's going to be like the biggest pool of people. So there's only so many VR headsets that exist. It's still an emerging market. Cardboard kind of lets you target everybody with an Android or iOS phone.
Yeah. And I think that's what probably makes it fascinating from a business perspective is that you have such a diverse option.
Yeah, right, you have now a wider range.
Wider range. That's probably the better word because most organizations could probably afford the cardboard solution, and then you're looking at something else completely different when you get into the virtual reality.
So some of our clients want to build a more immersive experience, so we'll create a room scale experience where you're actually interacting with the world. But a lot of our clients want to create a experience where, sure, we're sending them on a job site, but they want to target a cheaper option for VR so that way more companies can access the technology.
Yeah. I know that I'm going to date myself a little bit here in terms of years ago, and maybe this is a good sort of stepping off point for our next segment. But I remember some of the visions of success, you know, computer in everybody's home and everybody has a laptop and all of this stuff. Where is VR in the sort of range of, you know, most people have like 3, 4, 5, 6 computers now, right? When you think about it, you start counting up everything. Where is VR?
I don't want to count how many computers I have. I like to tell people that VR is kind of at the flip phone stage. So where everyone started getting phones, you know, not everyone had a cell phone, but a lot of people had a flip phone. A lot of people have VR now, especially after Christmas last year. A lot of people got like the plastic VR view helmets and stuff.
Yeah.
They're cheap, but, you know, they get the job done. A lot of people got those for Christmas.
Okay. So that's, so, a, that's been, know, a big sort of growth area. Interesting you would use the flip phone analogy, because I originally thought about the brick phone, and but we're past the brick phone.
We're past the brick phone. When I had my original Oculus, that was probably brick phone stage.
You know what we're going to do, Dan? We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our segments or a discussion on VR for business and VR for career and really where all of this stuff is going. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Dan from BitSpace Development, Dan Blair. Great conversation about virtual reality and augmented reality and how you can use this technology in your business from a marketing perspective or a training development perspective, whether... I think, Dan, you gave us a wide range from cardboard right up to the $2,000 investment per person developing an interactive virtual
it's
experience.
It's a big landscape.
It's a big, big landscape. So we've got sort of a business thing. I can't help but ask about career development, because I would think that we'd have some listeners thinking about, you know, how can I actually build my career in this whole space, and what do I have to look forward to?
So
it's a pretty big question.
Yeah, it's a pretty big question. And not too long ago, I was a student at Red River College thinking, how do I get a cool job here in the province?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it's never been such a good landscape to look at building cool technology and how to get into stuff like this. But I mean, whether you're in high school and you're looking to go into college, or you're in college looking to, you know, you're about to graduate or do your co-op
or university,
or you're in university taking computer science, there's so many options even just here in the city. There's a lot of really interesting organizations that exist that are putting on events. Just 2 weeks ago, there was the Winnipeg Alternate Reality Club that is organized by a company here in the city called Campfire Union. Great turnout, way more people than I was expecting. And what's cool about that is you're meeting studios and trying out a lot of the cool apps that are being built here. So we were there doing demos for our HoloLens. We got to try Flipside by Campfire Union, and Electric Monk was showing off their owl simulator.
Yeah, they're all. You know what? I've actually used that. That was the one I went down to Electric Monk. They invited me in and I got to use it. And that was the first time I did virtual reality. And I got motion sickness. I actually had that experience.
30% of people will.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, oh man, you know, because it was so much fun to fly around like an owl, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, between events like that, and we have the Unity user group where you can go out and, you don't have to know a lot, but you can kind of get a taste of Unity and the software that goes into building VR applications and training through organizations like New Media Manitoba. So New Media Manitoba is an advocacy group, the sector council for the interactive digital media community in our city. We have a pretty large game development community. So when you think of Winnipeg and Manitoba, that's probably not what you're thinking of.
No.
But I think for the size of our city, we have a disproportionate amount of VR going on here and video games in general. There's been some big titles that have teams that work here. So Alchemy Labs, Job Simulator, that's one of the biggest VR titles. Zenfry has been working on, some pretty big stuff here as well. We're building a lot of corporate applications. There's Complex Games, a pretty large studio here. So there's really a lot of careers that you can get in this kind of stuff here. From a perspective of actually, going out and learning this stuff, aside from self-directed learning, all of the universities, even the college, they're teaching you programming. The basic programming fundamentals that you're learning, they are going to translate into whatever aspect you want to get into. So, the programming logic that you're learning in intro to programming at University of Manitoba is, you're still going to be using those skills when you're, graduated and you're applying for a job at a game dev studio. You still need to understand those fundamentals.
So what do you mean by fundamentals? So for people who are not knowledgeable in computer programming, what do we mean by fundamentals?
You're still going to need to understand your architecture, your logic, your if statements, all those kind of things.
Things we grew up in other generations.
It's the basic stuff, but it's you're going to build off of that. So last night I was talking to my students and I was telling them about how they can build off of what they're learning right now. So my students are learning .NET programming, C Sharp. So it's exactly the language that we use at Bitspace. So we are a Unity shop. We use .NET. We use C Sharp. So okay. those languages are kind of the backbone to what we're building. And so to my students, telling them, yeah, you're building little applications and exercises right now that are kind of like, you know, flip a playing card or whatever. It might not seem really like, you know, you're building that future, but I took a moment to show them the code that goes into our applications, and for the most part they could read it.
Oh yeah, okay.
So, you know, what you're learning from the basic level, you know, just going off on that path, is actually you're working towards a career in game development.
Okay. When you mentioned game development, I can't help but think a little bit further that is beyond games, though. And I know the word thrown around, interactive digital media, is used a lot.
Yeah, so...
So to me, that sounds like a bigger umbrella, and just game is one of the points on the umbrella.
Games is just kind of like what everyone immediately thinks. So yeah. Interactive digital media is going to encompass your apps, you know, your web applications, VR, AR, you know, simulators, basically any kind of digital media that your user is going to interact with in some way, shape, or form. So it's a big umbrella. Technically, at Bitspace, we're not even really making games. We fall more into the advanced ICT and the simulation side of things. We're building tools for training. We're not really building experiences for fun.
For fun, yeah. You mentioned the acronym ICT, so let's define that for our listeners, because I know what it means, I hope.
Go ahead. Information, communication, technology.
Information, yeah. Communication, technology.
Every time I have to say it, I have to think for a second. But yeah. So one of the things at Bitspace that we do is we run in a lab through North Forge Technology Exchange, which is called the Advanced ICT Lab, which is a lab that's open to all entrepreneurs and, you know, people who are looking to kind of gain experience in this kind of tech. So you want to start to learn how to use the HTC Vive or the Oculus. We have that technology available to anybody through the labs.
Out of curiosity, I you know, around the city, I hear the word North Forge a lot. Is this a space that, you know, if somebody wanted a tour, wanted to come and check out, is that something that's easily do or readily available?
Yeah, so there's multiple campuses
now. That's putting on the spot, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's multiple campuses now. I'm a technology advisor there, so okay. I run the labs at 321 McDermott. There are tours. There's regular tours of the fabrication labs, and I don't think there's many tours of the Smart Park, but yeah, there's multiple campuses now, and it is easy to take a tour. It's easy to reach out. You can talk to Amelia. You can reach out to me directly, and I'm always happy to take you through the tours. So if you're interested in VR and AR and you want to try it, want to see it and see how it can affect your business, that is something that I can do for you. You can come in and try it and kind of get your wheels spinning on how you can use the tech yourself.
Boy, did I just put you on the spot with that one, eh?
That's okay.
Yeah, I understand that. I know that, you know, you said you've started studying at Red River, and obviously there's other options available to University of Manitoba, et cetera, and I'm sure some trade colleges and that. I even understand the Manitoba Institute of Trade and Technology has a IT program too.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that if we're going to mention one, we should basically be fair to all. Yeah,
basically, as long as you're studying programming, you're getting the fundamentals that you need to kind of branch out into interactive digital media later on.
You've also newly become an instructor, haven't you? Like, you're now, yeah, you mentioned about your students, so you're starting to teach.
Yeah, so I've started teaching some students. It's definitely rewarding.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's new to me, but it's definitely something that I think is, you know, I'm hoping to make a positive impact. So specifically in interactive digital media. So telling these students where they can go to, you know, to find the events and where they can find the tutorials and stuff to do some self-directed learning on the side to branch out more into interactive digital media if that's what they want to do.
Yeah. So, and it sounds to me like there's opportunities to pursue this. I'm just going to refer to it as a technology career, and you can slap my hands on this if you want. It sounds to me like there's opportunities to pursue it on many avenues. And I think what we should do is we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we should talk about what you guys are up to now and what you've been doing, maybe even just stuff outside of VR, because we've been sort of talking about that a lot. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Daniel Blair of BitSpace Development. Prefers Dan, I gather. You've been using that all along. Dan, last segment, we were talking a bit about the career in virtual reality, actually the career in interactive digital media and in technology overall. And I gave the sort of the umbrella of the technology. But you guys do stuff beyond just virtual reality and that. And I know that during the break, we started talking a bit about development and deployment of apps. So maybe you could bring us through that kind of process and what you guys have been doing.
Yeah. So over the last couple of years that we've been in business, we've worked on all kinds of projects. So although VR is kind of our main focus, we build, you know, the safety apps and stuff like that. We do all kinds of stuff. So just actually today, we've launched three applications for three different organizations.
Oh, wow.
So we've
that sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But on Android and iOS, we launched three course companion applications. So one is for the Construction Safety Association of Manitoba, Manitoba Heavy Construction Association, and RPM Safety. So trucking, heavy construction, and construction safety.
Okay.
And those were all with the Manitoba Construction Sector Council.
Now, are they virtual reality applications, or are they non-virtual
reality? These are non-VR. So non-VR. These are companion apps that you install on your phone. You take a course through their organizations, and as you're working your way through your course, you have a code that you enter into the app, and you unlock resources that you then keep with you that you can, you know, reference later. So, for example, I need to find out which legislation is immediately applicable to me as a construction worker. Well, there it is in the app.
Okay.
I took the course. Now I have it right there. I mean, you can find it by doing research, but we've gathered it all up for you. So these are applications that, you know, they've been in development over the summer. Now they're available to students this fall that are taking courses through those organizations.
No, wow. Wow. Yeah. So that sounds like almost like a rapid development type process. Is that an appropriate term to use?
So we're a agile shop, so we work pretty fast paced. So what that means is when an organization works with us, we set goals. Every couple of weeks we try to reach those goals and we meet together as a team. So that allows us to pivot, make changes, and identify issues really early on. So it allows us to build apps a lot faster than traditional methods, like they call it waterfall approach.
Yeah, waterfall approach. Yeah, I'm actually quite familiar with both agile and waterfall approaches. And I know that back in the day, when I used to be a senior manager, technology and stuff, we used to call it rapid fire.
Right? Yeah.
They didn't even call it agile at that time. It was sort of more of a rapid fire approach.
And you can apply that approach to really anything. You know, when I was just graduating, we built a car using agile.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was called Winnie Speed.
Winnie Speed.
Yes, it was fun. On the augmented reality side of things, our Fossil Discovery Adventure, which was launched just before the summer, that was in partnership with Zenfry Studios, and that was for the Canadian Fossil Discovery Center. That's actually nominated for a Manitoba Tourism Award.
Oh, right
so,
on.
We'll find out about that in a couple weeks.
Yeah. So what can you do with that particular application?
So,
it's probably already sort of self-explanatory, but let's get some
details. Well, you explore the museum out in Morden, Manitoba. So a lot of people don't know that we have a Guinness Book of World Record holding mosasaur out in the middle of nowhere, you know, Manitoba.
Yeah.
And Morden. It's huge. Yeah.
Morden's actually a beautiful city.
I love Morden.
I've been spending
a lot of time out there. We're actually launching a second app for the museum now, a guided audio tour for them. That'll actually be launched Monday.
So
we have it scheduled for deployment on Monday. And so basically you explore the museum, you scan these markers that are at all the exhibits, you answer questions, and you dig out the dinosaur bones or the aquatic reptile bones. And over time, you put Bruce back together. So you have all the bones, and you put the skeleton back together, and then you scan the marker at the end, and you can see a live version of Bruce.
Which is what you're calling this particular...
Bruce is the name of our record-holding mosasaur.
Yeah.
And in the gift shop, there's t-shirts you can get, and you can see the... It's kind of like the skeleton floating in front of you. So it's really fun.
It's interesting. About a week or two ago, my wife and I went to Morden, Manitoba, and we took a bus tour. And you know what? I don't recall that totally being talked about enough on the bus tour. No, I wish it did. I noticed the Harley shop. But I'm a motorcycle enthusiast. I can't help myself there. But no, you know what? wonderful stuff. You talked about deploying apps. Tell us about the process of deploying apps, because I'm going to call it product rather than apps, because it's really changed over the years.
Yeah. So like I said, we're an agile shop. So the process kind of starts right away for us. When a company comes and works with us, we identify the problems that they're trying to solve. What we do is we create them kind of a wish list of everything they could possibly want. We scope out what the reasonable deliverables become. And then almost immediately, I start the whole process of like preparing the app. So we create the app store pages, if that's where we're going to actually deploy it to. If we're going to deploy it to Steam or another provider, we create the appropriate pages. In regards to, you know, the example of the course companion apps we just launched, we started creating the Android and Apple Store pages almost immediately. Then while we're working on the actual content with the working groups and the advisory committees, we start putting together mock-ups of how the app will look.
Yeah.
So almost in unison, we're working on the content of the app and the visual aspects of the app. So
is that sometimes referred to as wireframing?
Yeah. So yeah. Wireframing, mock-ups, basically idea. Like a dummy app that you can see how it works.
Yeah, interesting you would say that. I was working, I taught a postgraduate course in strategic planning and business analysis and change this summer. And we segmented off all the groups, everybody in the program into different teams. And each team had to meet with the instructor, which would have been me, right? The advisor, yeah. So to speak, because you're more in a consulting role.
Yeah.
And that was more what it is. And what was really fascinating was that it was a working live model, right? So we'd be talking, making decisions. And because we were using the Google environment and sharing information, all adjustments and changes were being made on the fly. Yeah. Fascinating working
approach. So with the agile approach, you know, you always have a working product. So from the very beginning, the very first line of code should be a functional line of code. So when you're making changes, the client always has a working product.
Yeah.
So like, say you get halfway through the project and it's like, that's it. Well, you technically have a working app. It just might not have all the features that you wanted or might not be as pretty as you wanted it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Fixed cost, variable scope.
Yeah.
That's what it breaks down to. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
My favorite way is through Twitter. So you can find me on Twitter at cmdanca, but you can also get a hold of us through our website, bitspacedevelopment.com.
Okay, that's a good place to actually check you out and everything. Wow, a ton of information we've actually been going through. And that I do want to mention, because you mentioned you being an agile shop, and we talked about careers in our last segment. Is agile something that people should study if they're interested in a career in this space?
Yeah.
And where do you do that?
Actually, a really good program that you should look into if you're interested in this is actually the new BTM program at Red River College, which is Business Technology Management.
And you happen to be teaching in.
I'm not teaching in that. No.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would, but it's brand new and I think it's fantastic. So.
Okay. Oh, that's really good then. That's good that we have some options. You know, Dan, what a show we've been having. I thoroughly enjoyed having you on. You always introduce me to new technology and definitely new terminology. Like I know enough to be dangerous, but then I sort of always have to read up a little bit more whenever I hang out with you. If you have one final thought for listeners, what would it be?
I think that like it's okay to try new technologies. So from a business perspective, you know, you want to look at, you know, new tech to market your product. It's okay. It's not going to hurt you. So
that would be
it's okay to explore.
You know, it's interesting. I have to agree with you. I mean, one of the interesting things about technology is that it's become so much easier to build your own computer. Everything sort of stick, because I did it back in the day, right? And you had to figure out all the bugs and everything.
You had
right?
to do the pins.
You had to do the pins and all sorts of weird things to get things going. But it's not so bad anymore, you know. Dan, thank you for hanging out with me. I really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, obviously, I like it when you tune in. And if you have an idea or a question or a thought about the show, please do send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.